With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to NFL Sunday. Let's get back to it on Sports Radio WEEI.
Hour number three, NFL Sunday, broadcasting from our best yet broadcast booth right across the street from Gillette Stadium, which will be the site of Patriots and Chiefs, a 4:25 kickoff. It is Keith Fourier and Wiggy, and it's time now to talk with Tom E. Curran from NBC Sports Boston. Tom, how are you, sir?
Tremendous, boys. How are you?
Doing very, very well.
What's up, Tom?
Before we get to the game, one of the big topics all week long has been the Tom Brady stuff and Tom Brady's future. Tom Brady Sr. did an interview with the Herald, and we're all trying to put the pieces together on where he might go. If he does leave, Tom, if he leaves, is there a team that you think should be the favorite for where he might be playing next year?
I don't think we can really get to a point where we would consider favorites necessarily. It's just would be throwing a dart at a board. I think there's teams you can rule out. Certainly ones with really good quarterbacks, and there's teams that are more likely than others. So with all that preamble, I would say that Los Angeles, the Chargers, and the Miami Dolphins would probably be front runners behind that, maybe Tennessee. But they're about to redo Tannehill, so I would think that that might be a remote possibility as well.
Tom, do you think that Brady's contract and Bill's, I guess, contract situation, which I don't even know what it is. Do you think those guys, those two things are tied together in any way, shape, or form?
Only in only in the realm of if Bill Belichick has a contract already in place that takes him further into the future, then you know who holds the sway in terms of the owner's mind. And my rumblings I've heard is that is the case. And I don't think Bill Belichick has any intention of going anywhere. And I think that Bill Belichick kind of is wielding most of the power and decision-making at this juncture.
Now, when you think about the power and decision-making at this juncture, right, do you believe or do you think that Robert Kraft would be willing? Because if you're saying that Belichick thinks that they can win without Tom Brady, doesn't that put a huge, huge bullseye on him for allowing maybe Brady to leave this organization and then you being a team next year that is 9-7 that is trying to just barely make that six seed wild card spot? You don't think that Kraft gets a ton of backlash from New England fans?
I mean, I don't want to conflate what I'm saying into what you said I was saying. I mean, I'm not saying that Bill Belichick is saying we can win without Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. The point of this exercise and pointing out that Brady can be a free agent and can't be franchised is pointing out that philosophically the Patriots have already put in their back pocket the way they do things with keeping the player around as long as he has past what one would expect and to ask them to do it again and give him a guaranteed contract and more money commensurate with what he has coming is unlikely. That's where the conflict exists is, do we continue to do things contrary to our philosophy? Would Kraft take backlash? Absolutely. But in the story I wrote, not the Tom Brady Sr. one that you referenced earlier, which came after mine, was, the point that in 2013, Kraft tried to do something quote-unquote elegant. And he says he did that as a fan to make sure that Tom Brady never went anywhere else like Tom Brady or Joe Montana did. You can frame it as the Patriots and Robert Kraft and Jonathan Kraft have really done all they could. And if Tom wants to continue playing football, the Patriots are going to have to make a decision as to how much of their salary cap they're going to sacrifice to a guy who's going to be 43. And that's where the value conversation comes in.
As for Tom Brady today and the rest of the season, he hasn't been all that happy with the offense. Do you think there's at least a chance where, they're not going to be maybe lighting up the scoreboard the rest of the way, but is it going to get to a point where he's satisfied with this offense? Is that possible?
I think it'll get workable. I think it'll get manageable. I think the entire offense, to me, right now, rides on Mohamed Sanu. If he can play at the level he did in his first 2 weeks here, 14 targets his first week, and then get injured, I believe it was against Baltimore. But if he can play like he did prior to that punt return injury, which I still don't know what the plan is in punt return, other than Gunnar Olszewski, which could not have been the plan initially, then you have a shot at having a workable offense. But that's it. I mean, Matt Lacoste isn't going to magically turn into Todd Christensen out there, and Ben Watson's not going to roll the clock back. So that to me is it.
What about I think that the kicking situation seems like it's been crazy all year, and sure enough, Nick Folk will be your kicker after having an emergency appendectomy last week. Now, do you have any idea? I mean, has he been practicing? Has he been, you know, on his feet? You know, because he's got kicking duties today, right?
Right, in the cold. So, but I mean, look. The Patriots are so, as you know better than me, Christian, Bill is so particular about the kicking game that if he can have range from 40 to 45 yards, which is necessary, then go with him. I think he's been very consistent and solid. Two misses notwithstanding, which I didn't think were that great of a sin, given the way he's kicked. Most everything's right down the middle, so go with it.
Now, General Zod parachuted in from Krypton and basically told us that...
That's Adam Schefter, for those that have been following along.
And has basically told us that the Antonio Brown is not coming back and, you know...
Yeah, Tom, where were you
again?
On that one?
Yeah, who
Tom,
knew?
He's a little old.
I loved last week when he reported that Gronk wasn't coming back on Monday.
That was great.
Well,
he's fantastic.
Deadline's coming gone. Okay.
You know what? Sorry to cut you off, Wiggy. But
I
wanted
to start to realize.
No, but I just have a quick thing on the Schefter thing because it's to that point. Is we notice it here because we all follow the Patriots and we read people like Curran and Jeff Howe and whoever else who have reports. And then Schefter has it like a week, sometimes 2 weeks later. He must do that with every team, and I'm just figuring this out. So I'm sure there's like a Baltimore report that those guys are like, yeah, we know. We did this a month ago. But sorry, anyway.
Yeah, that's
all right. Florio texted me right after, and he goes, and he says he is the king of that.
Yeah,
right.
That's amazing.
Sorry, Wiggy.
No, my question is then, well, if we know that now, AB, the likelihood of him coming back is slim to none, and none just left the building, or slim just what left the building. What do you think the role for N'Keal Harry has to be moving forward? Because I know Christian, myself, and Keith, we all think differently of what his role is going to be.
Do you mean over the last 4 weeks and into the playoffs?
Yeah. Yep.
It's got to be – look, there's nothing easier to play, as you guys know, than that outside – is it X receiver? I mean, it's just simple. So run the routes the way they coach you to. I don't think that anyone would coach you to run an in-cut or an under route the way he did last week. Just do the stuff you're supposed to do. If the ball doesn't need you to jump to catch it, don't jump to catch it. You know, just do what you're supposed to do. It's, I don't know if it's nerves, anxiousness, what, but, and going forward after that. Now, again, on the slim to none, there are a lot of things that can happen. I'm not trying to put the toothpaste back in the tube, but the fact that there could be a radical, as I said, radical course change is necessary to prevent Brady from going elsewhere, that means they have to pay him a hell of a lot more money or somehow convince him that things are going to be different or decide that they want to throw their philosophy out the window. But I ain't saying there's no chance he's coming back.
No, you're saying there's not no chance, right?
I mean, of course not. I said,
you, but
as
basically
I said
what you're
story,
saying,
there is a chance.
The tires are still being kicked.
Story,
I've heard tires.
There is a
heard
radical
tires,
course
so
change.
Yeah, that
he's
is.
He's in his final days as a Patriot. But that doesn't mean that they can't have a radical course change,
right?
I.e. more money on the table, i.e. Brady says, you know, goes out and says, "This, I don't want to quit, but there's nothing out here that I want to do. I'm coming back."
I think Kraft, but he ain't quitting. I think Kraft caves and goes, and Brady, I don't think Brady's going anywhere. I think he comes back and Kraft caves and gives him the money because he knows this org.
Well, he could, yeah.
He knows his team's not going nowhere without him.
What about Tom? I mean, I don't know how much of an impact he would have, but Dez Bryant has been tweeting about getting back into the league, and he wants to be back in the league, and there could be an announcement and all this stuff combined with Deion Sanders the other week was talking about the Patriots and said, oh, you know, look for them to make something. Something's going to happen, and it's going to happen soon. Anything with Dez Bryant?
In the past, I've checked in with folks on Dez and said any likelihood, and the response I specifically remember was, I wouldn't spend a lot of time on that.
Okay.
So whether that is different now and you need to jump on a lifeboat, I just don't know if he provides the lifeboat. The guy's coming off an Achilles and he hasn't played in 11 months and he was pretty damn slow when he was playing last time.
So on to the Chiefs, right? Because they're, I always feel like the game is the last thing on our minds based on all the other topics that exist during the week. Kansas City Chiefs, better or worse than they were last year?
I think a little worse. I think a little worse. I think that all of them have played at a little lesser level, including Tyreek Hill, who hasn't been quite as explosive in some games. Running game is, you know, getting McCoy in, but with McCoy in, he can't run the ball as much because he's an old bastard. So all of those things, I think, are impacting them. And Mahomes hasn't been fully healthy either. So not as good offensively. And hard to make the case that they're a hell of a lot better defensively, although they do get after the passer.
Now, what do you think the Patriots do? I mean, they still have an explosive player in Tyreek Hill. Do you think they kind of take their same game plan approach that they did last year, and that's double Tyreek Hill?
I do. Gilmore on Kelsey, right?
Yep.
Easy. And then double Tyreek Hill with Jonathan Jones and Dev McCourty over the top, or whoever, J.C. Jackson with McCourty over the top. And then Sammy Watkins you can handle with Jason McCourty fairly easily, I would think.
What do you think happens today? What's your prediction?
I think the Patriots show some signs of life on offense. I think it's a close game, but I think that, you know, Kansas City, if the Patriots are not getting first downs and generating anything and you just keep giving it back to them, they need to sustain drives. They don't do that, they're dead. So the Patriots have to get over 21 because I believe that Kansas City is going to get over 21.
Yeah, I agree with that. He's Tom E. Kern from NBC Sports Boston. Thanks for the time today, Tom. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right, there you go. That's Tom E. Kern. You can join us, 617-779-7937. Ravens with a 10-3 lead over the Bills. 3:27 left to
Buffalo
go in the second quarter.
Blows.
I hate Josh Allen.
He's so bad. Their defense does a great job
getting the ball back.
Getting the ball back on an interception. They get it inside Baltimore's 50-yard line, and he gets 3 yards.
I'm telling you, he's their biggest problem. I'm telling you, if he was just – now you watch that game, and you go, okay, Patriots, if your defense – can play as good as Buffalo is playing right now, because I feel like Buffalo's defense is playing great.
Yeah, they are.
Oh, they're keeping it in.
Now, you just have to be a little bit better offensively. That's it.
Right.
And then you can move the ball on this Baltimore Ravens defense. This Baltimore Ravens defense is a little suspect, in my opinion, kind of like the Patriots were.
Right.
They were always dealing with a lead. They had the advantage of, you know, running out the clock, and teams were playing from behind. So they were always in an advantageous position. But Buffalo's been moving the ball on him. It's been inconsistent.
Yeah, Josh Allen's bad. I mean, he can't throw it to anybody. And the guy has got to be wide open for him to complete a pass.
Oh yeah,
that's got to be frustrating for Buffalo. Just the offense overall, the fact that they have so much going for them, yet their quarterback is just so limited.
Right,
that's who he is.
And they could have had Lamar Jackson.
What that offense would have been perfect up in Buffalo.
Imagine that with that defense and that offense. Yeah, exactly, they get a home field advantage and then some. Let's go to Sorja in Mansfield. What's up, Sorja?
Hey, couple of quick points here, and then I'll close with a question. Okay. I just thought it was so funny on ESPN this morning. They were doing their picks. And they called Bill O'Brien an underrated coach. Are you kidding me? I don't know what the score is right now, but he's
24-3
down.
24-3 Denver.
Are you kidding me right now? That's
who called him an underrated coach? Who said that?
I think it was Tim Hasselbeck or Randy Moss, one of the two. Yeah. You could probably find the clip. The other thing I wanted to get to is I think the Saints this year, they are locked and loaded. Let me tell you why. So if you remember, not the pass interference game last year, the year before, they lost, I think, to the Vikings on that miracle or whatever. So they are really charged up, and this kind of leads into my question, right? Let's say in this ideal situation, Patriots somehow get out of the AFC, somehow beat the Ravens or whoever they would face in the AFC Championship game. Who do you then – because the NFC is no joke. Like, you're not going to get in an ideal situation like last year where somehow you get a team like the Rams. Like, if you do make the Super Bowl this year, I'm just saying be prepared for, like, a loaded team because it's going to be – I mean, who do you want? 49ers? You want Saints? You want Seahawks? Like, however you want, you know –
Yeah, I got you sort of. The NFC is loaded.
I have the Saints.
You think the Saints are the best? Yeah. I like the Seahawks a lot. Is there one that you like in the NFC right now?
I like the Seahawks.
To get out, yeah.
I like the Seahawks.
I like the Seahawks as well. I think they would all be tough matchups in different ways for the Pats. If you want to play the game, San Francisco might be the toughest matchup because of the way they run the ball. And their defense is so good. Like, I don't think the Patriots' offense would score a whole lot.
I think between Seattle and the Saints, though, you have the better quarterback play than San Francisco. And that could, you know, that'll be a huge factor in the game is if you got to be able to keep up and score points. You know, those guys can score points.
But, of course, they got to get out of the AFC and, you know, the Ravens. But maybe Buffalo's showing you something. Maybe they're giving you ways to slow down Lamar Jackson.
Most definitely. I think you've seen it 2 weeks. You saw it with San Francisco.
Right.
Whose offense is better. And that was a terrible, wet, rainy game. Right. So maybe the offense is a little bit better. But you've seen it. Teams can slow down Lamar Jackson.
And see, this is the thing. When I'm watching this game and, you know, we're sitting here, we're talking about this. And this is why, you know, besides Jason Witten, I think tight ends do the best at this, especially myself and Christian.
Yeah, you and Foyer
because
are the best.
Because I don't know how many nuggets, gold nuggets Christian has dropped today.
That's all it is.
But he really makes a good point. Think about this. If your defense can come in and you know that you have just as good a defense as Buffalo, right?
Yeah.
If you can play them the way that you should play them, the way that Buffalo's playing them, you know that you have a way better quarterback than Josh Allen. If Buffalo had any quarterback, they would be winning this football game.
It would be a lot. You just don't trust them. You sit there, you can watch this game all day long, but you know that Josh Allen ain't going to do it.
Right.
He's incapable of doing it.
The only thing I would disagree with on Christian is that you have to get Baltimore at your place because they're probably a little bit different at home than they would. This game.
Well, that's what you would add because I agree with you on that. You would add that because I agree with you. I think home field advantage is imperative in this situation. Just crowd noise alone with him.
So he's one of the reasons why Buffalo's having some early success too. The game's in Buffalo. Yeah, right? that could have something to do with it.
That's part of it. It's really hard to kind of look at the defense last week in San Francisco and that horrible like monsoon type of game. But this game here, you look and go, okay,
this could be what you play in.
Right.
And if it's
in New England and you could do this to Lamar Jackson and you know you have the quarterback that can make those throws, you're good.
I also feel like the Patriots have so many more comparable examples with good defense that have like personnel. Mm-hmm. San Francisco being a real good fast team with a good secondary. Buffalo being very similar with the speed they have at linebacker and the defensive tackle. So you're gonna have and the book's kind of out on them. Just watching it, you go okay. You just know what they're gonna do.
Keep Lamar Jackson inside.
That's always you want to do that, But as far as what they're trying to do, so that touchdown that Baltimore had, they want a 2-on-1 situation. They want him to always have, okay, so you're a corner. What am I doing now? So whoever had Lamar Jackson couldn't get to him.
Right.
Whoever had the tight end missed him because they ran like a submarine play where he's from the left in the hip position. He ran all the way across to the flat route. So, I mean, it's not quite as bad. But today they just need to show some – they need to show a set on offense.
That's the biggest thing, they need to show a set.
Hey, listen, we were embarrassed. We were made fun of. Everyone thinks we suck. It's the same thing we heard last year after the Super Bowl and championship game.
Right.
You're too old. You're too slow.
We
ignore the noise. No, you don't.
No, we don't.
You
we
embrace it.
Look for it.
We put it on a thing called a bulletin board.
Right. You can't have one of these games today where offensively you get the ball inside the 10-yard line because of a turnover they create, or you get the ball at midfield because of a turnover inside Kansas City's, you know, 40-yard line, and you go 3 yards and punt. You can't have that. You got to be able to look and go, okay, drive the ball, touchdown, drive the ball, punt, drive the ball, field goal. It can't be punt, 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 and you go, what the hell is going on offense? Like you said, it's got to be that desperation or back against the wall. Or it's, you know what, we got to show teams now, hey, that offensively we can put up 24 points and that be because of what our offense is able to do.
So the last time these two teams played, obviously, it was the AFC Championship game. Sony Michel had 29 carries for 113 yards and 2 touchdowns. Do we see anything close to that today?
I mean, he had 90. What do you have? 85 yards against.
A couple weeks ago, right?
A couple weeks against Dallas.
Yeah, he had a good game against Dallas. It was probably the best game of the season, actually.
He started off pretty good against Houston. They ran the ball well.
I would say his over and under, I'd put it right at 100.
Yeah.
Look, like Buffalo's got the ball at midfield.
Yeah, they're not going to do anything with it.
Sony
Michel has not had a 100 yard game this season, and he's played in all 12 games.
Right.
Well, that's not surprising.
It's not. No, it's not. But, I mean, for a lead back in around the NFL, even the bad ones have, you know, squeeze out a 100-yard game. But I think one thing to look at, and I know he only had 10 carries against Houston, but he had 20 against Dallas, and he averaged over 4 yards a carry in both of those games. So if you want to look at that as maybe a trend, hopefully, is going up, because for the season, he's still at 3.5.
Right.
Which is a whole yard less than it was a year ago. And I know, again, I know there's a million different factors there, the line, the fullback, the offense in general.
Wouldn't that be what you would do, though? I mean, because I feel like I would run
it. Against Kansas City, I would, yeah.
Yeah, Kansas City, they can't stop the run.
I definitely would, and I would do it more than just the first series. Huh?
Run it to the left.
Yeah, run it to the left. But, yeah, until, you know, see if Wynn can keep up. And then if you got to throw those different, you know, Landon Roberts, Newhouse as an extra guy. If you don't think the tight ends can do it, whatever. That's fine.
You got to be able to. I think the biggest thing with the Patriots, you got to be able to score touchdowns when they get the ball inside the red zone. So when you get the ball inside the 20-yard line, you got to come away with touchdowns. This year, they're horrible inside the red zone, and they're just kicking field goals. I think you have to come away with touchdowns.
Missing them.
Yeah, well, speaking of field goals, I mean, Fourier brought it up with Curran, but it's going back to Nick Folk. And when he first went down, everybody was like, oh, yeah, he'll probably be back in 2 weeks. I was like, well, he missed one game.
But if you can come away with touchdowns.
He still got stitches in, right?
Right.
Right, but
they took something out of you.
About this. If you can come away with touchdowns, your defense is good enough to hold teams to field goals. So if you're able, you don't need a field goal kicker if you can score touchdowns.
Yeah, but that's been an issue.
They should be. If their defense, what are they averaging giving up a game? Like 11, 12 points or
probably something
like that?
Like it's under 10 for a while, but these last few weeks it's probably a lot.
Yeah, I would say, 17 points, you should win every game. You should be able to win.
Right, but you have to score touchdowns, though.
I know, I agree. But it's not like we're asking.
Can you get 20 points from the offense every week? I don't think you can. I think I have to ask it too.
I don't think you can either.
I mean, they haven't.
Up and down.
But I also don't think that they can. Yeah. I don't think you can rely on it by any stretch.
I don't know the number, but on average, you would say most teams get in the red zone, what, 2-3 times a game?
Sure. Call it that.
All right. And it seems like for the Patriots that when they get inside the red zone, they generally just kick field goals. So if you could say we got to come away with at least 2 touchdowns.
I mean, the amount of short field goals has been off the charts. It's staggering. See 23-yard field goals, 29-yard field goals. It's just – and that's what they've been doing. And then if it's a 40-plus yarder, they're probably not even going to try it. So it's just
no, they'll go for it.
They're going to go for it from the 35, but then they're going to kick it from the 5 or the 2. Like that's what it's been. All right, this is NFL Sunday. It's week 14. All of the 1 o'clock games are either at or approaching halftime. So we will go around the NFL when we come back. We're on until 4 o'clock. Keith, Wiggy, and Fourier. NFL Sunday brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today. Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional.
Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
More of NFL Sunday right now with Christian Fourier, Jermaine Wiggins, and Rich Keefe on Sports Radio WEEI.
They are so out of sorts right now, and you're just kind of amazed because usually this is the time of year where things start to tighten in for the Patriots and they get better no matter which side of the ball is struggling. But I don't see an end in sight for the struggles with this offense. Is that it's starting, you know, with Tom Brady, and then you've got the offensive line, and then you've got young pieces that they're trying to fit in there. I don't know if they're going to be able to keep up with Kansas City. I know their defense is really, really good, but we saw it last week, right? They can't hold it down forever if you're not going to score points. And against an explosive team like Kansas City, I think Kansas City is going to go in and get this one.
There you go. Kurt Warner never picks against the Pats. He's going out on a limb there. I saw Rex Ryan pick the Pats today, or pick the Chiefs today as well. Like, there are certain guys that when it's a close game. No, I'm kidding. When it's a close game, there's certain guys that always pick them anyway. But I definitely don't think Kurt Warner is completely wrong with his thoughts there on Pats Chiefs today. 4:25 kickoff. We should have the full list of inactives about 20, 25 minutes from now. But all the 1 o'clock games are at halftime, or at least really close to halftime. So what do you say we go around the NFL? We will start with the game that we have an eye on here in the shed, and that would be the Baltimore Ravens and the Buffalo Bills. Ravens lead the Bills 10-6 in a game that is extremely important for the Patriots, really on both sides, whether it's more room to breathe in the division or home field throughout when you're talking about the Ravens. But a low-scoring defensive battle here in the first half.
Yeah, you got to just click that.
Gonna do sit that
too far away. It's too far away. You know what? And really the touchdown that the Ravens got, they were the beneficiary of a strip sack of Josh Allen. Mm-hmm. Favorable field position.
Yep.
Give him credit. They finished it. They got points on that crazy touchdown pass. And that's just him being a badass athlete. Any other quarterback. No other quarterback can do that. He's too fast. He's too good at what he does. There's too much stress on the defense. I'm excited that I don't really care if Baltimore wins or loses. I don't care. The fact is that there's more information out there for the Patriots
on how to defend them. Yeah, I agree.
What it looks like when it's done right.
I'd agree with you. I would agree with you there, and it just shows us how bad Josh Allen is as a quarterback. Oh. So it's when you got Buffalo in a couple of weeks. It's, you know what,
Josh Allen. They'll be 9-7.
Josh Allen's not going to beat you.
That's why I would, and because Fourier, you've been saying the Bills are going to make the playoffs all year, and they very well could. But that's why I couldn't believe them until they beat the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. Just because at that point they had so many wins, and there was a couple of gimmies.
But
left.
Now it's starting to really.
It's like, man, they're not going to because the quarterback's going to cost them. Like, they're going to lose games. Like, when they lost to the Browns, I was like, here you go. They're
but now we're going. But we're going them. Back to the after that game. You're like, now we're going to like the Cowboys. They stink.
Yeah.
Well, right. That's not even necessarily a good win, but the fact that they got it and just they got up to 9, and you're like, that's one of those teams. And that's another example where. When there was talk about expanding the playoffs, you say, you don't need to expand the playoffs because the sixth seed is usually a trash team anyway, for the most part. Every once in a while you get a good team. But there's always a team or two that you're like, I got to watch that.
I think the days of good wins are very hard to come by.
There's not a lot of good wins.
Not a lot of signature wins no more.
Not going to be one here between the Browns and Bengals where Cleveland is up 14-13. Great game. Baker Mayfield has a touchdown run in the game.
What it does is they keep losing, then that's, you know, OBJ wants out. I had told you.
He wants out.
I had broke the news on that. I'm not as good as Scoops Foyer.
Not yet.
That he was going to be sick of it?
He wants out of Cleveland.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I was. I was at a game when his mother and the.
There's the source right there. You're not supposed to reveal
He goes straight
your
to the mom.
No, but it's. Oh, yes.
First lesson.
Keep that under your hat.
Well, no, you know, it's not really a source. I think she's
a pretty good source.
But I'm saying she
Karen
wasn't.
Karen Green talked to Brady's dad, did a whole story.
Yeah, but
it
wasn't like.
Story
it wasn't like. Yeah, but she broke. She said it was Brady's dad, so I don't think she was hiding anything.
She wasn't.
She was like, how the hell can they not get him the football? I was like,
I'm not surprised. I mean, he's just like a mercenary.
Yeah.
He's going to go from team to team. It's got to be the perfect situation. Forget about growth. Forget about taking your lumps and figuring it out with the team that you're there with. He doesn't want to deal with it.
But he's so talented, though. They don't even throw him the football
They
don't even throw him the football in Cleveland.
This is another good one in the NFC. The 49ers lead the Saints 28-27 at the half. Both quarterbacks, Jimmy Garoppolo and Drew Brees, having a great halves to the game. Great game so far. Shocked that the defense hasn't been better. on both sides, right? Especially San Francisco.
Well, especially San Francisco.
Yeah. But you like you. You I like. Like
I like the Saints.
More
Saints
in the NFC.
Saints. They're my NFC team.
But it's a pretty big game for them. Packers lead the Redskins 14-6. Really nothing all that
no
exciting.
No one cares.
There.
Yeah.
Nope, nobody cares about that one. Falcons over the Panthers 13-10. Of course, Ron Rivera out.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have him. I mean, I guess it's not a shock, but I thought with the quarterback situation, maybe they would have left him there a little bit longer.
Yeah, but Cam Newton's going to be out next year.
Yeah, could be here. Could be the pass quarterback.
This is true. They're going to run the Baltimore Ravens. They're going to hire Greg Roman as their offensive coordinator.
That'd be nice. No? All right, Wiggy's
no.
a no one.
Yeah,
that.
I'm a no one.
How about this? This was the easiest game to predict on the entire board. The Broncos lead the Texans 31-3.
Wow.
Not necessarily that it was going to be this lopsided. This is a halftime score. But Houston just beat the Patriots, as we all know.
And that was their
next
Super Bowl.
Week, they have a monster division game against the Tennessee and the Tennessee Titans. They are down 31-3 to Drew Locke and the Broncos. Not that you can't lose the game in December and bounce back. We saw the Patriots do it. But, man, Bill O'Brien and the Texans are frauds.
Aren't you fighting for that division?
You are.
You're fighting for that division against
the Titans. You currently
lead
the division, but you are frauds. Broncos aren't good. And they're just rolling it up. Drew Locke, I don't know if he'll be their quarterback for the next 10 years or just the next 10 games or whatever it is, but he is lighting up the Texans. Today, Houston also, their linebackers played dress-up on the way in, and they did.
Right. And the game's in Houston,
it's
too.
It's in Houston. Right, this is in front of their crowd. Right. They're just getting absolutely pantsed.
Right.
They did the dodgeball thing. They all dressed up as the average Joe.
Did they really? Yeah. I that's one of those things where I feel like, you do it once.
Once, fine.
And, you know, because the stress of having to come up with a new idea, it's just not original anymore.
No, it's like, what is it, the University of Miami?
Yes.
They wore fatigues.
Perfect.
Yeah. Great.
Made sense.
Cool.
Love it.
Why not?
They still lost, but didn't matter.
They lost. I didn't love that.
It's okay. It was
but
awesome.
But that was for the bowl game. That was right. It. That was not every week. Now, so you're going up against Denver. You're like, hey, what are we wearing tomorrow, guys?
Right, that's what I think
it's so lame. I am so embarrassed for them.
They have to retire it now, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Done. Skate. Right.
You can't get crushed
like
that.
That's what it's become. It's like in basketball, you know, they always like saying who's the best dress of the week. And basketball players are always trying something. Now, it's not to this extreme.
Tell
these
people who like dress.
This is more like in basketball when they do the Halloween, you know, and they dress up as, you know, whatever strange things. But
I always thought that was that's a lot of effort for literally 10 seconds of airtime.
Right.
But in today's game.
No, I know. It's part of it. It's part of it. That's why I feel like the NFL got the idea from.
Who knows how much money these guys are making on social media?
They're influencers?
Again, the last thing you should be thinking about.
That's what the Texans are thinking about. That's the point. So they are a fraud team and then some. Vikings lead the Lions 17-0 at the half. I ask this every week. Matt Patricia gets another year, or is he done?
Oh, man. Yes, he gets another year.
One more
year? I think he gets one more year.
I think he gets the Stafford bailout, this is, right? They're like, hey, you had backup quarterbacks for a handful of games.
What year is this for him? This is number
this is
three.
Only two.
Oh,
no,
two.
This is his second year.
All right, I think he'll get three because Bob Quinn, who's the GM over there. So, he gives them.
They're kind of tied together now.
Because he'd probably be gone, too.
Because they got rid of Caldwell to bring in Matt Patricia. And Caldwell had made the playoffs.
Yeah, he's worse now.
Well,
winning records the last 2 years.
I don't think they'll get rid of Bob Quinn, but I think what they'll do is say, all right, you got to move on from Patricia and find somebody else.
Big AFC East battle. The Jets lead the Dolphins 16-9 at the half.
Yeah, well, that's Brady's team next year.
For
the Dolphins.
Team.
Yeah, they're going to have a good draft pick. It'll be easy for them to get Beckham. Trade that pick.
Yeah, that is true.
Get Beckham, no problem. Colts lead the Bucs 27-21. You think the Bucs have it, or the Colts still holding on to playoff hopes? You guys,
what's their record right now?
Because I think they're 6-5.
They are
6-6.
No, yes, they're 6-6.
6-6.
Well, I mean, they're all. I mean, yeah, all of that AFC
South
is South. They're all
because the Texans,
all three teams except the Jacksonville Jaguars. The only team that's really out of it.
The Texans are what?
Texans are 8-4.
8-4.
But they're not coming back, I don't think.
They'll be 8-5, so they'll be a game behind. Yeah. But then Tennessee's
playing, which we'll get to.
Yeah.
They're playing at the 4 o'clock.
But the Tennessee's also
7-5.
7-5.
That division is going to come down to the wire.
That's going to be good, and probably the last couple games of the season. It was the Texans-Titans. They play each other twice more?
Yeah, twice in 3 weeks.
The Colts need some stuff to happen, but they're on the outside looking in.
The 4 o'clock slate, Jaguars and Chargers. Both teams are 4-8.
Chargers
again,
stink.
Maybe one of Tom Brady's future
teams
there as
Rivers
well.
Is horrible.
Yeah, not great. Cardinals host the Steelers. Steelers That's one where they're, you know,
they're right in the mix.
If you go to Arizona and trip up, then you don't deserve to make the playoffs.
Right.
They're 7-5. They're holding on to that second wild card spot right now.
Yeah.
And Fourier's got Mike Tomlin in as coach of the year.
He's on the list.
Yeah. I don't think it's a –
I mean, honestly, think about –
I got no problem with that.
Two different rookie young quarterbacks.
And if he can make the playoffs, yeah, I mean, shoot, he deserves –
He's a guy that you start talking about coaches that – I mean, you just know he's a good coach. I don't really like some of the things that the way he does things, but every year he gets his team.
Yeah. I think it's
to be competitive.
I don't think he's a good coach, but
why? He's won a Super Bowl, so he obviously knows what he's doing.
I don't know.
What
if
is
that's
it?
True.
What,
he gets so much
what
talent.
Is it about him?
I agree
him.
With you. I but agree
what,
with you.
So for example, what is it about him?
Every time you watch a game, when he was playing the Patriots here, he decided to kick a field goal. They were down three possessions. The field goal made them also down three possessions.
Right.
He's like, you need to go for it there.
So okay, so
I don't think you get the math.
Okay, but.
One,
how many decisions do you think he has to go through and make in the course of a game?
But
I'd say four to five.
I would say those key decisions I wouldn't trust Tomlin to make.
Okay, but again, are we comparing him to Bill?
Yeah, see, that's the problem.
Okay, don't compare him to Bill.
Bill's
out of the NFL.
Okay, so
if Bill's out of the NFL, who's the best coach?
Okay, so then it comes down to if Bill's
who's the best coach without Bill?
There you go. If it goes Bill, then the next group of coaching would be
Pete Carroll,
Sean Payton,
John Harbaugh,
right? They would be the next level. Andy Reid.
Okay, he's third tier.
And then the third tier would be
Bill O'Brien.
Oh no.
No, wait.
No, I don't think he's
Tomlin. Might be better than
Bill third. O'Brien. Here's the third tier. The guy Peterson.
Doug Peterson's got to be second tier.
Peterson. Just because he won a Super Bowl, don't throw him.
He won it with a backup
quarterback.
Okay. That's impressive. I'd second tier.
Second
Thank
tier.
Thank you.
So would the third tier then be like the Buffalo coach
Sean McVay? What about Sean McVay? Fourier's guy.
Sean McVay.
Those
Sean
are the
McDermott.
Third tier.
Bill O'Brien. Those are
Jason
all.
Garrett.
I don't think Bill O'Brien's
lower,
third tier.
Lower.
Bill
Mike
O'Brien,
Tomlin.
How is Bill O'Brien not a
he's
third
a fourth tier?
Tier?
He's a fourth That's, tier. Guy.
Those are crappy coaches. This guy has a winning record.
But look
you
what
can't
he's
put
doing.
Him in a third to fourth tier if he's got
look,
a winning
but
record.
But look
every
to Rich's
year.
Point. You just
9-7, 10-6.
But you just beat the Patriots, and a week later, you're playing against the Denver Broncos at home.
Absolutely.
And you're getting
torched.
Destroyed.
Yeah.
He's a four tier.
You're getting embarrassed in front of your home crowd.
Your third tier is probably Tomlin,
you guys, if he,
Sean McVay.
If the guy is 9-7, consistently 10-6. And you look at his struggles in the amount of time that he's been there. He's easily third tier.
Why am I
fighting with you about this? Honestly,
Ron,
I just said a stupid fight.
Bill O'Brien, Mike Tomlin defender. Right.
Ron Rivera, that's your
third tier.
Yes.
That's your third tier. And Bill O'Brien, he's like your fourth tier.
So you're putting him with Doug Marrone. You're putting him with Jason Garrett.
Yep, he's
you're
in that.
Putting him with
he's in that tier. Jason Garrett.
Cliff Kingsbury.
Yep, Adam Gase.
Mike Vrabel.
Vrabel's in your third tier.
I put Frank Wright up there.
Third tier.
Because you need to have that Super Bowl either win or resume, something like that, to be second
Not
tier.
Not just appearance though, because Dan Quinn would have that.
Well, then
Dan
I would say Ron Rivera would be in there also. He made an appearance.
But Ron Rivera's not in the second. He's in the third tier.
And so is Bill O'Brien.
It's a big third tier, I feel like.
Bill O'Brien's down in that fourth.
And then, big game four.
How many tiers are there, by the way?
I think it's just four.
Is it four tiers?
I think it's just four. If you Google it,
how many
I think
circles
it's just,
of hell are?
I think if you Google it, it just says four tiers to the
Nine.
Coaching.
All right, we got the Ryan Tannehill, which is ongoing. They are 5-1 since benching Marcus Mariota. Titans at the Raiders. Today, 7-5 Titans, 6-6.
See, this
Raiders.
Is
this
is a game.
Monster game.
This is a game where if Vrabel wants to be go from the third tier and maybe climb his way up
to
the second tier, he's got to win this game against an Oakland team.
What
tier
is Gruden in?
Gruden's in the fourth tier.
Yeah, he's low tier.
The new Gruden. Yeah.
After
new,
getting spanked by
the new
Jets,
Gruden,
that was
the,
not a good
the
look.
New Gruden is in your fourth tier.
New Gruden. I gotcha. Sunday Night Football could be a good one. The 10-2 Seahawks at the 7-5 Rams. This could eliminate the Rams right here.
Yes.
You know, and I think that it will. I like the Seahawks a lot. Russell Wilson, the whole thing's been great. And then Monday Night Football, the return of Eli Manning.
Ooh.
Against the Eagles. Giants-Eagles on Monday night. The 5-7 Eagles are still very much in it.
Unbelievable. The winner of that division is going to be 500 or below.
Right.
They're going to be 7-9, and they're going to host either San Francisco or Seattle.
Right. They're going to host a team
and
that
get,
could.
What,
they're
going to
host
spread
a team that could be 13-3.
What? Right. What's the spread going to be? They're going to be home dogs by over a touchdown, probably.
Man, 20?
No, not 20. It's not college football.
In that game?
Let's not get slappy here.
Yeah, I would
100.
I would say maybe 13. 13 to 14.
Yeah, something like that. All right, there you go. There's the Week 14 slate. And, of course, Patriots taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. 4:25 kickoff. We'll have the inactives when we come back. This is NFL Sunday. Keith Fourier and Wiggy brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T, or download the List app on the App Store today.
You're listening to NFL Sunday, presented by Kaplansky Insurance. The right coverage at the right price. Kaplansky.com on Sports Radio WEEI.
Back here on NFL Sunday, Patriots and Chiefs today at 4:25. It's Keith Fourier and Wiggy as these two guys keep shaking their heads.
Coach
Buffalo
Killer.
Bills.
Coach Killer.
Yep.
Baltimore Josh leads Allen. Buffalo 17-6. Go ahead.
He's a coach killer. Josh Allen is a coach
he's
killer.
Horrible.
It doesn't matter what you do. You look like you're incompetent
right.
because your quarterback is so stupid.
Right.
Full on blitz. You don't see the guy coming.
Right.
Just throw it away.
Right.
What a joke. I just can't handle it anymore.
Don't you look at the contour defense and go, wait a second. Why is there another guy over top that safety?
It's like that whole Sesame Street thing. One of these things just doesn't belong or whatever.
Yeah,
that stupid
one
thing
of these
is.
Things just don't add up, something like that. So
listen to this.
Say it in the Groucho voice.
So according to Adam Schefter, and there's an article Hannibal wrote about it on WEEI.com as well.
What did General Zod say?
Some of the Kansas City Chiefs' gear for the game today was not taken off of the plane and was mistakenly sent to Newark, New Jersey. It is now being rushed to Gillette Stadium and is scheduled to arrive between 3 and 3:30. Kickoff obviously is at 4:25. The bags apparently contained helmets, footballs, and shoulder pads.
Yep.
Roughly 35 players are impacted.
Right.
He says if they do not arrive in time, Kansas City would forfeit the game. The Patriots nor the league is responsible for the bags. It is totally Kansas City's responsibility. Warm-ups may be impacted, but the Chiefs are doing what they can to make sure it has as little impact as possible.
Start from the Start from the beginning.
Sorry.
Read that again.
All right. Okay.
So hold on. So the plane takes off of Kansas City.
Yeah.
Lands where?
Foxborough.
Probably Providence, right?
Providence.
Providence, most
okay.
likely.
Everybody gets off the plane. They get on the bus. Okay, usually what happens is there's another truck that comes on, and all the bags, all the football stuff goes on that truck. They're separate. They go to the stadium. They start setting up.
But hold on.
So what are you telling? Was this like some mob hit? Like,
no.
Hey, take the bags over here.
Right, right.
The Patriots are going to get blamed for this.
No, no, no. Of course.
The Patriots are going to get blamed for this.
Listen, yes, because.
Is that what happened?
We sent the guy out there, take the helmets.
Here we go.
They can't beat us without helmets.
Because let's really set the table on how this works.
Okay.
Okay?
Yes.
So Kansas City is coming from Kansas City, right?
There you go.
So
I can get on board with this.
Hey, hold on. So far, I'm on.
I don't want to throw you off too much. Kansas City is actually in Missouri.
Right.
Not Kansas.
Which totally screws everybody up.
Yeah, they're in Missouri. So they're coming from Missouri.
Right.
But anybody who's played in the NFL knows that you travel on Saturday. So this all happened yesterday. Because you travel on Saturday. So what ends up happening, you get out of your walkthrough. What you do is you go to your bag, and you got this giant, like, hockey bag that has your number on it, and the coat and the trainer equipment manager say, put whatever you need in there. It's going to be cold. You need your cold gear. I like these cleats. I like these gloves, blah, blah, blah. So you now put that in your bag. That bag then gets zipped up, and that bag gets taken, and it gets thrown, like Christian said, on this truck. You now go from your walkthrough after you've taken your showers. We're now going from there to the airport. We pull up at the airport. The truck pulls up. Now on the – and this is Saturday. They throw it all on the – they you throw your bags on this little conveyor belt. You give them your personal luggage, and they have your hockey bag with all your stuff in it. This is Saturday. So for this thing to get messed up today
– yeah.
There's something a little
shady. Hold on. Good news, though. There will be a game today. As just a few minutes ago, Schefter updated the story. A Chiefs spokesman has said all of the team's equipment has arrived in Foxborough. So those 35 players that were missing helmets and or shoulder pads now have
them. But it would have arrived there yesterday.
They're saying
I'm
there
still
today.
Hold on a second.
They're saying
the
got
plane
there today.
Lands.
Yes.
Where does the luggage go? Does it stay on the plane?
No,
how did the luggage get diverted to Newark, New Jersey?
I'll read the whole thing again. This is from Schefter. This is actually last hour. An equipment container that contained some of the Chiefs' shoulder pads, helmets, and footballs was not unloaded Saturday and instead accidentally made its way to Newark, New Jersey.
Okay.
So that means they forgot to unload some of the equipment.
They didn't unload all of it. They left it on the plane.
And
the
now
plane.
This plane ends up going to New Jersey to pick people up to
send
go to the Bahamas.
Aruba. Yeah. Yeah.
Imagine that.
You know, because I used to work at Signature when I was in high school. And what we used to do is I used to be on the belly of the plane loading luggage on and off for people.
Is that an airline?
No, Signature is like the not the airline, but the company unloads and
odd jobs by
unloads and loads the plane. So I used to do this when I was in high school. And so now if you're a Signature employee, okay, this plane lands, it comes here. Now, hey, let's go up. Let's open it up. Make sure there's nothing underneath the plane. Oh, wait a second. Jimmy. There's a bunch of football bags under here. Where did this plane?
Amazing.
It says Kansas City Chiefs
That's
on
amazing.
It.
Amazing.
And then it's like, oh, wait a second. You know, now there's
Can
a whole
Can you imagine
issue.
If that plane, because they don't have a Kansas City Chiefs plane like the Patriots have two
It's
Patriot
just a regular
plane.
Airplane that they charter.
Yeah, so they just charter the plane. So the plane, what if it did?
So good.
They picked up people in Providence. All right, everybody's got their, like, you know, floral shirts on. I can't wait to get to the sun in Aruba. Sure enough, there's no room. Unbelievable.
You got these poor people in Aruba just throwing off Kansas City Chiefs bags. Yeah. Like, they have no idea.
No clue what's going
sitting
on.
Sitting in that corner just waiting. Right. Like, I don't know who this is. They went around the belt.
Yeah, right. All of a
times.
Sudden, this belt's like, wait a second. This says Kansas City Chiefs in
87. Yeah, they would. It's when I was listening to Kansas City radio, and they did a whole segment on just – what was going to happen to them? How? Where the headset's going to go out? Where the ball's going to be? Right?
Well, they got something now.
Right. Yeah, they do. They
now.
Tried.
They
we sniffed it out.
Nope, equipment's there. Patriots inactives are out, and they look like they're going to be pretty healthy. We already knew that Ted Karras wasn't going to be playing, so Karras is out. Also inactive: Juwan Williams, Byron Cowart, Cody Kessler, Corey Cunningham, Ryan Izzo, and Damian Harris. So that means Jason McCourty is back. He's playing. Mohamed Sanu, Julian Edelman, we assumed would be. They were on the list, but they are playing as well. So no Ted Karras. So now on to what the team's fourth kicker? Fourth kicker and third center is what you're looking at.
Yeah, but I thought the kid Ferentz played pretty well. I don't think he was an issue last game against the Texans. I think the pressure last game against the Texans came from now off of Marcus Cannon's side.
Yeah, he really had a step backwards.
That's where I think
he's still sick. He's still ground zero.
Yeah, he's still
patient zero for a while.
Yeah, he's patient zero.
Yeah,
we gotta find get him some type of antibiotic.
Brady sounds sick too. Brady was on. I know you guys were sniffing it out.
It was so funny.
No, but he was even on Monday when he talked to Greg Hill. Yeah, and remember he was like, I was on the plane.
Right,
like,
right. Sounded a little congested.
He had the largest throat lozenges I think I've ever seen. It looked like a golf ball. And while he was doing the press conference, it was equivalent to him like chewing gum.
Right.
He kept sliding it back and forth. You could hear it hitting his teeth while he was talking.
Take that out?
Yeah, it's like, dude, just give it to someone to hold.
Where Scorsese to come in and say, cut?
Seriously. No, Scorsese didn't cut anything out of that last movie.
No, he didn't.
No, 3.5 hours. Nor
I thought it was pretty good.
So Wiggy's hot movie take that we almost started the show with.
Hold on. Why did you, wait a second. Don't just jump
That's
into
what you said. Why did I screw that up
And I only said that because he had his Dork podcast they did the top 25 of the decade, correct?
Yes, movies of the decade.
Movies of the decade. And so originally I had asked him if Django was on that list.
Did not make the list.
And it did not make his top 25. So then I came in and I said to him,
but what is the list, though?
The list of the top 25 movies of the decade.
Well, me and my buddy Davey, who do the Dork podcast, we each came up with a list and we melded that list together and then that's the list.
A couple of
movie experts, no big deal.
So I said to him, I go, did Once Upon a Time in Hollywood make that list?
Yes,
and
it
he goes, yes. And I go, wait a second. Django didn't? And I just saw Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I just watched it this weekend.
And you didn't like it?
It was the worst Quentin Tarantino movie of all time.
Probably second best Tarantino
movie. No, it was horrible. It was slow.
Oh, you like
boring.
The Irishman. The Irishman was a
but at least the Irishman
was like a history classic.
But at
least the Irishman.
I like the Irishman.
The story. You saw
you did?
It?
Yeah, I liked it.
At least the story kept you going. Yeah. You're like, I didn't know about this.
I didn't think it was going to be like, action figures running around blowing
up. It doesn't need to be action figures. For you, it does. Well, sometimes it does. That helps.
But you knew there was a nice story to it, right? There was a nice story. You know, I learned about Jimmy Hoffa, and then
you didn't learn about Sharon Tate?
And the Sharon Tate was like a nugget in
Charles
there.
Charles Manson?
In the Charles Manson was a nugget in the worst movie. Forget him. Worst
like
movie
Pitt's
of the decade.
It's not the worst movie of the decade.
Now I'll say this: Brad Pitt
I
will say this: Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio.
How good were they?
They were good as Tour actors.
De force.
They was good as actors.
They're good.
What do you want them to be?
But just because they
weren't good football players, they're good actors.
No, but just because your acting job in the movie is good doesn't mean the movie is good.
The movie was. You're right. It was great. I take it
the
back.
Movie was horrible.
Nothing good about it. It was great. Well, my buddy that I do the podcast with, he hated it. So the only reason it made
horrible.
The list was because it was high.
What was number one?
Logan.
Oh my god!
And Django.
Did you see Logan?
Did
you see
Django?
Before you say, "Oh my god!"
Yes, I did.
And you think it was the best
movie
of the decade?
I'm almost embarrassed for you.
You don't
right
need
now
to be embarrassed.
I am embarrassed because
right,
you're better than that.
What's your answer?
You're better than that.
I'm not better.
You are better.
I had number two on my list. It ended up being number one.
I can't believe you put Logan.
Logan was incredible.
What was number two?
Number two was, I think, Avengers Endgame, maybe?
Wow.
You didn't put Creed. I would put Creed as
Creed?
In number one. The first Creed?
Yeah, first
the first
Creed.
Rocky?
I like Creed. Well, Rocky was in 1975.
No, but you're talking about the first like real good like, Rocky
good.
Balboa
good.
Spinoff. That was
Creed's
that should
good
be your number one.
Well,
other than
be,
Logan?
Be
Logan was fantastic.
A fictitious character?
Creed did not make top 25. Creed
oh, my God. Okay. Your list sucks.
The list does not suck.
I want
to fight
you right now. I knew his list was.
The list is not.
I knew his list was trash. Once he goes,
thank you,
Django
Wiggy.
Didn't make the top 25.
Not top 25.
If you've
not
seen
top
Django
movies.
In the, if you've seen Django, Django's.
I've seen Django.
A top 25 movie in the past 10 years.
No, why are we yelling?
I cannot believe Logan is number
and
one.
That was incredible.
So I said to
Logan
him,
Logan had everything.
So here's what I said to him, Christian.
I was in shock.
So here's what I said to him. Okay, I saw Logan. I didn't mind it.
I cried.
But here's what I said to him. I said, stop. Give me some names of movies that just made the list.
Yeah.
And what was that one?
Guardians of the Galaxy.
No. What was the one weird sci-fi movie?
You never heard of Ex Machina.
Ex
Machina was an incredible movie.
And it was like
Wiggy, go watch Ex Machina before you start bashing.
Hold on,
you haven't even seen it.
Let me hold on. I never even heard about it. Let me make sure.
It's a great movie.
What's it called?
Ex Machina. E-X Machina.
E-X.
Yeah, Machina.
Machina.
John Anderson, our producer. Have you seen Ex Machina?
I have not, but I would like to now that you've hyped it up to me so much. Because I loved Keith's list, personally.
There you go.
John Anderson.
Okay. You old bums just want to watch Rocky Logan, over and over again. Christ.
I can't do it.
Logan was, Logan, man, what a movie.
See, now
powerful picture.
You're going to make me like get all into this now.
Yeah, so you came up with Creed and Wiggy came up with Django, so I don't really feel quite
all I know is that Creed was 10 times better.
Creed was basically just Rocky.
No, it wasn't just Rocky.
Yeah, I saw
the opening. The first 10 minutes of that movie.
It's the same.
The
movie.
First, no, the second one was like all the other Rockies. They gave up on it. Okay,
yeah.
The first 10 minutes of Creed.
Yeah.
Were probably the best 10 minutes of movie in any show that you've ever seen in your life. Wah, like Creed's son is like beating up some kid. He's like, "Ooh, I know your father."
Yeah, oh, no. His dad was very famous.
Like, Creed was good though.
Claire Huxtable.
May he rest in peace. Huxtable. She was a good mom, of course. Classic mom. Dealing with a lot of fallout there.
Did you see
Married a Monster?
Did you see Creed 2?
I hated Creed 2.
Yeah, so that's
okay. And Creed 1. And Creed, Rocky can't hold the gloves because he's old. In Creed 2, he's doing everything he did in Rocky 1.
Yeah,
it makes no sense.
I still can't believe how Django does not make the top 25 list. God,
yeah, John Wick was on the list, Doug. John Wick made the list.
Yeah, I understand.
John Wick's a good movie.
I haven't seen it.
All
so
three of them are good, to be honest.
Yes,
we put the first one on there, but, I mean, they're all good.
Did you have The Irishman on this list?
Hell no. The Irishman was not that good.
I can't believe you had Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. The worst movie ever.
It was a treat to the eyes and ears.
No,
it
was the worst. Christian, listen.
He hasn't seen it.
I'm going to, though.
But Quentin Tarantino is hit and miss for me.
This one was a miss.
That's fair.
It's hit and miss.
Was Django a hit or a miss for you?
Major hit.
Okay.
Yeah.
This was
But I walked out of Pulp Fiction.
Oh, I do.
When I first saw
you. I don't understand you or movies.
Hold on.
Pulp Fiction is like one of the top 10 greatest movies of any decade.
Calm down. I walked out of it. I was like in high school or college.
Yeah, probably.
I remember going.
It was 94.
I was like, yeah, what the hell's going on? He just died. What's going on here?
The movie's not in order. The movie's not going in order. This already happened.
I was like, I don't get it. I walked out. I walked out of Rain Man too.
Rain Man.
Yeah, I walked out of Rain Man. And then when I saw
Pulp
Fiction again, then I loved it. I was like, oh,
now
I was too dumb to get it.
I still cannot believe I am.
You gotta get past the Django.
No, not the Django.
Oh,
the
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
It's
best movie in 2019.
It's so it was the worst. And I like Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah.
I you know what? I've always been a fan. I was a fan of his Grindhouse thing that he did.
Oh yeah.
I love Kill Bill.
Robert Rodriguez was better than
Terror
was better than.
I love the obviously when you think about
Reservoir Dogs.
You think of
Kill Bill 1 and 2. Hateful Eight was okay.
I liked the Hateful Eight.
Did you like it?
I didn't mind it. I liked the Hateful Eight. It got a little slow in, but I thought that movie was good. But when I saw Once Upon, I went in with my expectations like, okay, it's Quentin Tarantino, it's Brad Pitt, it's Leo.
Oh, Keith said it was awesome.
And Keith said it was good.
Keith is out of his mind.
Margot Robbie was good in it.
It's
really good.
Their performance, Bruce Lee,
see him in there?
Their performance was good, but the plot and the way it just dragged out was horrible.
I think it's a must-see for anybody.
It's not a must. It's a must-see when it comes out on free movies.
Yeah.
Do not pay for Once
Upon a Time.
Did Frozen make it?
Frozen was number 6. No, Frozen. It's not on the list.
Soundtrack only?
It was not on the list. We did have one animated movie on our list, though.
What was it?
Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Okay, so I'm seeing the Marvel thing. Did Black Panther make it?
No.
Oh, my God. How does Black Panther not make your list, man?
Yeah, I actually...
Endgame and Infinity War did, and he was in both of
those. Was horrible.
Oh, here we go. Listen. We don't have enough time in the show. No,
you listen. The credibility between you and your buddy there, your homeboy,
your buddy,
Davey Eyeballs.
Between you and Davey Eyeballs, the credibility is instantly shot when you don't have Black Panther as one of your top 25 movies in the past 10 years. There's no way the credibility, and you have Ex Machina.
You haven't seen Ex Machina.
I can't even find the trailer.
You don't know how to spell it. That's all it is. You can Bing it.
It's on Netflix,
Ex Machina.
Not S Machina. Am I saying S Machina?
You're saying X.
E-X. Like X. Ex Machina.
Yes, E-X. All
right, we'll come back. We will talk Patriots and Chiefs segment. As we're leading up to. I'll put that on the Dork Podcast. I'll clip that, put that on the Dork Podcast.
I think I need to be a guest on the Dork Podcast.
I do, too.
I think I would want to scream at you. I want to be able to curse.
I'm going to watch
your top five movies.
Good. It's all Marvel. You're probably
I'm going to hate it.
See, that's what I think.
The fact that you're such a Marvel head, like you're just a superhero guy, you're prone to lean towards that no matter what.
I'm
Logan is number one.
Right.
Oh, you're so in a
Logan's
box.
Logan's not even
he's
in the MCU.
No. But he's
I wouldn't
in a,
even
he's
know
in
the difference.
Don't
he's
cage
the,
me.
He's in the comic book box.
He
because,
is.
Well, a little bit.
Well, I would say this. Once
so we really can't take him seriously.
No, we can't. When you say your top five.
I'll take you seriously.
When you say your top five movies are the top five are all Marvel movies. Are all comic book movies.
Yeah, but there's 25 good ones on there. There's 25 good ones that are not
yeah,
all
Yeah, but
Marvel
how can
movies.
I take you serious oh, you when can. Your top five are all comic
because
book
Because you
movies.
Respect my opinion.
That you didn't have a Marvel movie and Black Panther you being in the top 25.
Listen, you respect most of my opinions.
No.
You gotta give me that.
I mean, some of them, but when it comes to your movie selection.
You like me. You have a good friend. All right. This is NFL Sunday presented by Kaplansky Insurance, the right coverage at the right price. Kaplansky.com, also in part by the New England Kubota Tractor Dealers and Needham Bank. We will get back to the Patriots. Patriots and Chiefs 425. We'll be right back here on NFL Sunday.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.